But this afternoon, I would like for us to think for just a few minutes about the role of the so-called layman in our churches today. And I say so-called because I'm not sure that this word layman is a good word. And there are those who feel that at least a part of our problem stems from the fact that we have called these other members in our congregations laymen. There are those who say that a far better term would be the word lay minister, for we all are ministers of Christ. What is the role of the lay minister in the church today? Perhaps before we ask this question and seek an answer, we need to ask another question. And that would be, what was the role of the laity, the lay ministers in the early New Testament church? Would it surprise you, beloved, to discover that the early New Testament church was, in essence, a lay movement? Jesus Christ was a lay minister. He was never ordained. And when they asked him for his credentials, he had none save the changed lives about him. The apostles were not ordained. They were lay ministers. And if there is such a thing as apostolic succession, then they were not a part of it. The 70 men who went out in the service of Christ Jesus and came back so enthusiastic that they could scarcely contain themselves were lay ministers. And I believe the most famous evangelist mentioned in the New Testament, a man sought by everyone because he was a very fervent speaker for Christ Jesus, a man who held more simultaneous revivals than anyone else, a man by the name of Philip, was not an ordained minister but a layman. Look at this word, laity, for a moment. As you know, the word laity comes from the Greek word laos. It literally means the people of God. Now look for a moment at another word, kleros. From this Greek word, we get the word clergy. Hendrik Kramer makes the most interesting and revealing observation about these two words, laos and kleros, as they are used in the New Testament. He said they refer to the same group of people. All Christians are God's laos, laity, and all Christians are God's kleros, clergy. The New Testament knew nothing about two divisions of service as we seek to serve our Lord. In our minds, these two words refer to two different groups of people. The New Testament knew no such division. The two words refer to one people, the people of God. These people, the laos, the people of God, literally turned that New Testament world upside down. How long has it been since anyone has accused the church in our day of turning the world upside down? There are many who are saying in our day and age that the world is turning the church upside down. We're facing many problems in our churches today. Just take a look around. The picture's not a pretty one. I'm not a pessimist by nature. I don't like to be around pessimistic people. I may be the only golfer in this congregation this afternoon that can be lying three in a sand trap on a three-par hole and still think he can par it. But, beloved, I'm also a realist. And as we look at our world today, what we see is not encouraging. You've heard the reports. Baptisms down. Sunday school enrollment down. Training union enrollment down. WNU enrollment down. Brotherhood enrollment down. It's not necessary to be a Daniel in order to see the handwriting on the wall. Canon Byron Green contends that England is 50 years ahead of America religiously. This man gives us something to think about. Listen, 50 years ago, our English churches were filled like your American churches are today. We were satisfied with big congregations that focused on the pulpit, routine attendance in the pews, and content with our shallowness. Consequently, people became disillusioned with an ineffectual church and indifferent to her message. And today, our churches are empty. Your American churches are crowded with people today. But there's no biblical or spiritual depth among your laymen. Religion is largely a sentimental Sunday affair which does not radically influence daily life. Now listen, beloved. If something doesn't change, 50 years from now, your churches will be as empty as ours are today. Some of you attended the Berlin Conference on Evangelism. I am told that one of the most dramatic displays there in Berlin was a huge population clock that not only showed the time, but showed the population explosion at that very moment. And Dr. Billy Graham, when he stood to speak that first night in addressing the conference, said, with the world population growing at about 40 million a year, with more than 110,000, we must win to Christ every day, 4,500 every hour, 75 every minute. We must win these masses just to keep pace with the present population. But I would remind this convention that instead of keeping up with the present population explosion, we are losing that race, for the population is growing 10 times faster than our churches. 10 times faster. There are a number of reasons for this distressing situation. I, for one, believe James put his finger squarely on the problem when he said, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." In our day, we have developed the world's largest group of sermon listeners. Our Christianity has been largely confined to one day Sunday and to one building, the church. Even when we come to church, we feel very little personal involvement. And my friend, if I know anything about Christianity as it's described in the New Testament, the name of the game is involvement. This is the name of the game. The Astrodome, located in the city of Houston, Texas, was not the first indoor sports arena in America. The truth were known, I imagine that there are many pastors in this congregation this afternoon, and you know deep down in your heart that you pastor an indoor sports arena. There's a game held there every Sunday. It may be that some of you have been in that arena that I pastor. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It'll seat 1,800, and every seat is located right on the 50-yard line. It's cozy in the winter and cool in the summer. I cannot conceive of a better deal because a season ticket costs practically nothing. But far too many people coming to our churches feel that they can come and listen and watch and never become involved. And we must realize that attending church is not to be America's greatest spectator sport. Will you let me dream for just one moment? Just suppose, because you will very readily see that I am indeed dreaming. Just suppose, instead of having some 30,000 plus odd, and some of them are very odd, Baptist ministers, Suppose we had something like 11 million ministers, for we do have now in our Southern Baptist congregations 10,949,493 members. Suppose we had that many people who would take seriously our Lord's admonition to be ministers. What would happen? Well, you say you're dreaming. It's a fantastic dream. So let me cut it down. Brother Gideon did. He cut that great crowd down from 32,000 to just a handful, numbering 300. And so suppose we make the same reduction, and instead of counting on 11 million, let's just take a million. Is that too much to ask? One out of 11? Now what would happen? If we could go out to minister to a needy world with a million ministers instead of 30,000. And if you're tempted to smile or if you are tempted to laugh out loud, I would remind you, my friend, that this is exactly what Jesus Christ expects out of every born-again believer. Our task is to do what Jesus would do. And he made it very plain. The Son of Man is come not to be ministered unto, but to minister. This should not be a dream, but a reality. I'd like to make some very practical suggestions as to how we can use our lay ministers more effectively. Because I believe until we use them, we will not have them to use. Until we use them, we will not have them to use. Why is it necessary, Brother Preacher, for us to let our lay ministers sit on the sidelines until we have Baptist Men's Day in our church? Why don't we let these men stand and preach for us? In the last several weeks, we've had a scout executive, we've had a young lawyer, and we have had a politician speak from our pulpit, and every one of them have been well received. They ought to be able to stand and preach just like you and just like me. I wonder if it wouldn't help if we would encourage these lay ministers to administer the ordinances of our New Testament churches. What would happen if you let one of your lay ministers come to preside when that bread is broken and you say, "This is my body broken for you"? What would happen if they would raise the chalice and say, "This is my blood shed for you"? I can't think of anything that would make a greater impact on our congregation and emphasize the importance of the lay minister more than to allow these dedicated people to perform some of the so-called priestly functions of the minister. Why shouldn't they baptize some of those coming professing their faith in Jesus Christ? Why shouldn't they? I'm wondering why we shouldn't have in our Southern Baptist Convention a conference for the lay ministers. We come early and the pastors have a conference and the WMU ladies have a conference and the ministers of music have a conference and the ministers of education have a conference. Why not a minister for lay ministers? Give these men a chance to come and become involved in our work. But, my friend, by far the most important thing we can do is to lead these lay ministers, the laos, the people of God, to the realization that the Great Commission has been given to all of us. You remember what Jesus said? "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Elton Trueblood has said, There is no good reason why the words of our risen Lord may not be taken intensively as well as extensively. We have interpreted this injunction in a geographical sense, but there is a deeper significance according to which it may mean all phases of life. He meant it geographically, but he also meant it vocationally. Go to Europe and Africa. Go to South America and the Orient. Yes, but we are also to go into the field of business and pleasure until all of life is permeated with the influence of Jesus Christ. A man was running to catch a train. It was late.
And as he ran with a bag in each hand through the lobby of that great train station, he noticed another man just in front of him running just as hard, also with a suitcase, obviously about to miss his train too. And as these two men turned the corner there in the station, the first man ran headlong into a little boy who had a little stand there in the station, and he was selling trinkets and candy and magazine and gums to the busy travelers. And the first man, when he hit him, just caused him to fly out there, sprawled out on the concrete floor. He didn't stop to help the little fella. He cursed him for being there and rushed on, anxious to catch his train. In a matter of seconds, the second man arrived, and he saw what had happened. He set his suitcases down, and he put the little fella's stool back up.
He put him on his stool. He picked up the trays, and as best he could, he gathered all the candy and the chewing gum and the magazines and stacked them back in their appropriate places. Then he took out his billfold and gave the little fella $3 or $4. And he said, "Now, son, I believe that this will take care of anything lost or broken." He picked up his suitcases and started to rush away. And as he did, the little boy cupped his hands together and he cried, "Mister! Mister!" The man stopped. He turned around and said, "Yes, son." And the little boy said, "Mister, are you Jesus Christ?" And he said, "No, son, no, I'm not Jesus. But I'm trying to do as best I can what he would do if he were here." Now, beloved, that is the mission of the people of God. All the people of God. Every redeemed son and daughter of God. We're all his ministers. And when we realize that instead of having 30,000 men charged with this tremendous responsibility of winning the world, that we have 1 million men under arms, we'll take this world for Jesus. But not before.